The authorities have an excuse for abuse, transferring inmates without warning from one prison to another, allegedly in search of an available bed. Your mail or commissary won't be forwarded, and just keeping in touch becomes a challenge. Stay in contact with the Prisoner Shoutout Line, broadcasting your voice messages every Saturday afternoon in Radio Free Erin about 5 minutes to 3 and ending in the Gut Bucket Matinee. There's a repeat broadcast Tuesday morning around 1:40 a.m. in Person to Person. The Prisoner Shoutout Line, 212-209-2958. That's 212-209-2958.
I love you, man, and we miss you out here. You're gonna be back out here soon.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York. The time is 8 o'clock. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. A little bump for the best.
Very good evening to one and all. We're trying something a little different here. Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I'm actually sitting right across the table from you, and I'm talking in delay over my Sprint phone, but I'm trying to do something to demonstrate a little feature here. Okay, am I back?
Good. If you are a consumer customer and you are calling for your account balance or to obtain remaining minutes on your plan, you will need to access our internet website.
This is actually pretty cool because it's one of those automated things, one of those voice recognition things. This one has a name. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Claire, your virtual service representative. I'm here to help you with your customer service needs. Please speak naturally and feel free to interrupt me at any time. You can say things like, I have a question about my bill. I need to make a payment. Or, how many minutes have I used? So, what can I help you with?
I have a question about my bill. Hello?
billing and payment. If you want to pay now or get information about your past or future payments, say payment information.
Payment
if you are calling...
Hello?
Payment information. For your
yeah, that's right. That's right. You got it. Hello? Anyone there?
Sorry, I didn't understand. In order to access your account, I need to get the last four digits of the account holder's Social Security number associated with your PCS account. You can either say the numbers or enter them using your keypad, and you can always say help if you need more information. So, what are the last four digits of the account holder's Social Security number?
Should I tell her? I guess I can do it with touch tones, and I'll do it like, wait a minute, I never told them my Social Security number. Nice try, Sprint.
You don't have my Social Security number.
I'm sorry, but I still didn't understand. I can't verify your information successfully. Let me get someone to help you.
Yeah, no, no, get me out of here. Abort,
we appreciate your bit.
Okay, all right. Well, it can get kind of rough out there, but that's the fun you can have with Sprint PCS. But you can only get to it by dialing *2 from a Sprint phone. That's why we had to go through those shenanigans to bring it to you. If someone has an 800 number that we can play with it more on the air, that would be a lot more fun, a lot easier. And apparently I hung up, yeah. So you can do all kinds of things. Now, Mike, I believe you've played with this quite a bit.
It's our friend Claire.
Claire, yeah.
Yeah.
So what other kinds of things does Claire do?
Well, if you call her up and say, hi, Claire, then she gets confused and transfers you to a human.
I hope that's not Claire calling back, because the line's ringing now. And I have a feeling I have an angry computer calling now. That would not be good. That was how I spent my week, calling voice-activated things like that. No, actually, I learned something very interesting this week. I learned that we are all doomed. And I don't mean doomed in the traditional sense, that we all know we're all doomed anyway. But no, I mean this is a different kind of doom that's facing us. And I think the people of New Jersey already know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Mandatory 10-digit dialing. Do you know what this is, Mike?
I've heard of it. Yeah. They have it in Massachusetts, too.
Yeah. Well, then you know what it is, too, because you come from Massachusetts.
Right.
So now...
Well, they put it there after I left, but I've heard the horror stories.
Okay, so why don't you tell us what mandatory 10-digit dialing is?
Well, in plain English, anyone you want to call, you have to dial 10 digits, mm-hmm. sometimes 11.
Well, that's the thing I don't understand. I'm glad you picked up on that. When wouldn't it be 11? Because you have to dial 1 plus area code plus number for every number you dial.
Oh, no. Sometimes you just have to dial area code plus number.
Okay.
If it's a local call, but there's no real way to know in advance whether or not you have to dial the one.
Wait, if it's a local call, why do you have to dial the area code?
Because they have overlay codes.
Yeah, what my point is, though, if they know that you're not supposed to dial the one because it's a local call, then why don't they also know that you don't have to dial the area code because it's a local call?
A local call might not be in your area code, though.
All right, so let me see if I understand this. If you want to pay a long-distance rate, you dial a 1. And if you don't, you don't dial a 1. Is that the understanding here?
Something like that.
All right. Let's see something. I have a theory here, and I haven't tried this yet. But let's get our friendly dial tone. All right. Let's dial WBAI first, so that you know just what we're dealing with. I'm also going to do something here that no one else has ever done. I'm going to pick up a call to BAI on BAI. I don't think that's ever been done. Then you hear what the listeners hear when the phone picks up, which is kind of a weird noise. And only listeners know this. I don't think any radio hosts know this. All right, listen to this. Everybody hears that when they call up. It's really kind of annoying. I don't know why it does that, but it does that. So those people who are here at BAI, now you know what the listeners have to listen to every time that little burst of whatever tells them that they're on the air. And for those of you who have never called us before, now you'll know what you'll hear, and that noise means
learn what you're missing.
Start speaking. All right. Well, I called that for a reason, to demonstrate that 7-digit dialing works. What I'm going to try to do now is just dial 212-209-2900. Why are you shaking your head? You've done this already?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Okay, well, I'm going to try it anyway. Indulge me for a second.
Okay.
This is how I spend my days. Oh, did you hear that? The dial tone. I got a dial tone. I wonder what happened. I stopped dialing as soon as I heard that. All right, let me start again. I'll dial slower this time, and I'll see what that dial tone means. Okay. That's our phone system kicking in saying, okay, I'm making the call now. Okay, I'm going to dial the 900 afterwards. And maybe I'll fool the phone system into actually completing the call.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 132A1.
Okay, that's a switch recording. So we made it out to Verizon, and that's coming from, I believe, LATA, L-A-T-A 132, which is your local transport area, whatever. All right, now I'm going to try the same number. I'm going to put a 1 in front of it. No, it's not interrupting us with the dial tone because it knows the 1 is a long-distance code. Okay, now it knows. It's going to try to make the call. And that's a distinctive WBAI ring right there. And I guess to prove it, I'll pick up this line. There I am. Okay, folks, so it's in place. 1 plus area code plus number is in place. So that kind of shoots your theory to hell right there. It's because I think dialing 212 from 212 should be considered a local call, right? So why did the 1 work?
I don't know.
You don't know, do you? Here's the thing that's happening. All right, and this is something that I've been living through for the past several months. I've been getting all these calls for somebody named Mike. Not you, you know, another Mike. There's lots of Mikes out there. You must know this. Well, these people, they leave these messages on my answering machine. Unfortunately, I have lots of different numbers, so I can always just, you know, turn one number off and go to another. But I was kind of intrigued by this. Why would somebody leave literally a 5-minute message to somebody giving details on like a party that's happening that night, and then the next day leave another message as if, you know, there's nothing untoward about that, I'm just going to keep leaving you messages until the end of time, even though you're never going to call me back because I'm not actually calling you. So basically about 4 or 5 or 6 different people are leaving messages for Mike on my answering machine. And I'm like, how stupid could these people possibly be? Mike is never going to call them. They must think Mike hates them, but they don't care. They're just going to keep leaving messages anyway. So, you know, it got annoying when they filled up my answering machine because, you know, these digital answering machines, they get full pretty easily.
This Mike is very popular, apparently.
Or he owes them money or something. I don't know. But they just keep calling. They keep leaving messages. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how this could be happening, you know? How could people be this idiotic? And apparently they're telling other people because other people are calling him too. You know, people at work, people, you know, that he hangs out with. I'm learning a lot about this guy. I'm getting phone numbers. I'm getting all kinds of information. I mean, I could just take over this person's life. I could answer the phone and be him, you know? They've probably never heard his voice anyway. So eventually, I was up in the daytime. It happens, you know, every now and then. And the phone rang and it was one of these people leaving a message. So I picked up and I said, look, what number do you think you're calling? And it was my number. They were calling my number. And then it dawned on me what was happening. I was a victim of the famous Long Island split. And they had just activated my exchange in the 516 area code. See, I used to be in the 516 area code out in Suffolk County. And then we got moved to the 631 area code. And during, I guess, the last year or so, there hasn't been an exchange to match the exchange that I have out there. But apparently some wireless company bought that exchange and started handing them out about a month or so ago. So now the 516 area code has the exact same phone number that I used to have. It was my phone number. Now it's somebody else's on a cellular phone, and they're getting all these calls. And the reason it's so complicated, it's not a geographical split. You know, you can't say, okay, you're in Nassau County, you're 516, you're in Suffolk County, you're 631. You know, even though that's hard enough to do, especially, you know, at the border, because some people are one and the other, even though they're in the same place. This is an entire cellular company. And this person could very well be in Suffolk County, but they have a 516 number. So, yeah, I can see how these people could get confused, because they're in 631, he's in 631, so they don't dial 516. So I see this, and I also see the confusion that took place when Verizon made exceptions and said, okay, if you're in Huntington, you can have either 631 or 516. In the end, everybody gets so incredibly confused. Everyone gets really, really annoyed because they're getting all these wrong numbers, and the people who are making the calls don't get through to the person they want to call. So we're going to demand 10-digit dialing to alleviate the confusion. You see, and that's what's going to happen. Right now, I wish there was 10-digit dialing. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true. And my prediction, and you can log it in the book of predictions right there.
All right.
Which every BAI host is part of. We make all kinds of predictions here. Most of them do come true. My prediction is within 5 years, there'd be year 2006, the end of 2006, we here in New York City will be dialing 10 digits for every phone call, except, of course, 911 or 411 or whatever. But that's my prediction. And, you know, New York is a prime candidate for that. We have the 646 area code. We have the 347 area code. You know, nobody knows where those are because they're overlays. You know, they're not geographical. So we're doomed. Now, New Jersey just went through this about a week or so ago.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't heard much from New Jersey lately, have you? Well, that's a reason. They're trying to figure out how to make outgoing calls again.
Generally don't hear much from New Jersey, but...
So, yeah, it's an unsettling reality. And, you know, this whole thing could have been solved so damn easily if they just added a digit to area codes, you know? 4-digit area codes, no problem at all. We could have all stayed in 212X.
Why would that help?
I just explained. 212X, you have, like, 9 more area codes. You'd have 2121, 2122, 2123. They'd all be 212 plus one digit. And then you wouldn't have to split area codes. You'd simply add a digit to the area code, and you'd still keep the geographical... You know, the geographical niche of it.
So everyone would have to dial 8 digits.
No. Well, I mean, if you're dialing a long distance number, you would have to dial, I guess, 12 digits instead of 11.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. But you wouldn't have to dial 10 digits for a local call.
How many digits would you dial?
7. Because you're dialing the regular
phone
number.
But what if I'm in 2123 and I want to call someone in 2125?
Okay, there's a couple of ways you can do that. Not that it's ever going to happen, but you could make a long-distance call and dial the 12 digits, all right? Mm-hmm. Or you could do something like they do over in Europe where you just, I guess, add an extra, like, shortcut digit, maybe a 0 in the beginning, like 02. Or so. I don't know. There are ways to do it. I mean, you know, great minds can figure these things out. But all I know is the way it works right now, where's the 585 area code? You tell me. Does anybody know? Nobody knows. I'll give you a hint. It's in New York, but nobody knows where it is. It shouldn't be that way. It used to be you could tell where everything was, and now nobody knows where anything is. Sir, if you're here.
Hey.
How's it going?
Isn't 585 Westchester?
No. You're thinking of 847. No. I could see the mistake you might make. But no, 585 is not Westchester.
I'd be perfectly happy to just press pound at the end of dialing my number.
Yeah, you know, and that's how you make overseas calls. You dial 011 plus the country code plus the city code plus, you know, however many numbers there are, and it's always different. You hit pound to say, okay, I'm finished, and then it tries to make a phone call.
What about the European system? How does that work?
European system is the logical system.
Because they've been using that for a while without too much trouble.
Yeah, they have city codes instead of area codes. And I find that in some countries, it's slightly different in various countries. And if we had Bill SF on the air tonight, he could give a long lecture on this. But let's say you're in a big city. A big city would have a short city code, like a city code of 1, perhaps. And then that allows you to have long phone numbers, like 8-digit phone numbers. And then when you're in the city, you don't dial the 1, obviously. When you're outside the city, you dial, you know, whatever it takes to get to the city, which is, I think, 01 to get there. 0 indicating that you're making an intercity call. Now, if you're in a small town, you have a long city code, like 5 digits. That allows you to have 4-digit phone numbers in that small town. You don't have to dial 8 digits, you dial 4 digits. And if you're outside the town, you dial 0 plus the long city code plus the number. It's not hard. You know, it's not hard. The way we're doing it here is just so silly. But I guess that's just this is the way things have to be. So, yeah, that's my little rant on area codes. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
All right.
It's going to happen a lot sooner.
It's been logged.
Yeah, it's been logged. And we'll just have to see. So anything anything interesting or more doom-ish happening in the real world out there? I don't think any new laws have been passed in the last week, have they?
As far as, who couldn't keep track?
Really? Yeah, they passed them so fast. But I think it's just about as bad as it was... last week. But here's the interesting thing. Tomorrow we get to see a videotape. Did you hear about this? The smoking gun that proves Bin Laden was behind the whole thing.
Oh, we get to see it now.
Apparently they've deemed that we're worthy of actually seeing some evidence for a change You know, and you know what it all boils down to? It all boils down to what we've been doing in the hacker world forever and getting all kinds of hostility for is asking questions. And when people don't like you asking questions, you have to wonder why. You know, in the case of a sysadmin, they don't like you asking questions because they don't want you to know, or they don't want you to know how easy it is, or they don't want you to know how they've completely not done their job and left things wide open. So they'll either tell you to shut up, they'll kick you out, or they'll call the authorities on you. Now, in this particular case, where we have you know, an ongoing war, and we have a hunt for terrorism and all kinds of things like that, when people start asking, how do we know this? Why? Why are we going after these people? Where is the evidence? You get branded as a traitor, as anti-American, a non-patriot, you know, a callous person. But asking questions is the fundamental way of finding out what's going on. And I think too many of us are not asking any questions. Now, from the beginning, there have been questions as to just what is going on with this whole, you know, terrorist operation. How is it set up? And from the beginning, there has been very little told to us, except this person did it, and trust us, we know this person did it. And for most people, that's good enough, and that's very sad, because you have to always ask questions, otherwise you get led around. You know, it's got nothing to do with your state of patriotism. It has to do with how much you want to protect what it is that you believe this place stands for. And I think the truth is one of those things that it should stand for. So anyway, finally, I mean, there have been these videos that have floated around. We're not allowed to see them. They're not aired on TV because we don't want to give Bin Laden a voice. I mean, he already has a voice, but apparently if we heard what he was saying, I guess we'd be taken in by it too. Is that the logic that...
Is there logic?
I don't know. But I just wish, you know, we were trusted enough to see the evidence and to make up our own minds as to just exactly, you know, where the guilt lies, you know? I mean, we don't know what this guy has ever said. I've never heard a single sentence that he has said. I've just seen him on the screen with somebody talking over him, telling us how evil he is, which may very well be. And I'm really hoping that when this tape comes out, that, you know, he'll basically be admitting to everything and it'll be nice and simple and we could all hate as one, you know, it'll sort of bring us together for the holidays. But I have a feeling it's going to be a lot more complex than that. I just have this feeling. And I base that on what I've heard so far. Basically, he's saying that, you know, there's going to be more terrorist acts. Well, you know, news commentators in this country have been saying there are going to be more terrorist acts. So that statement in itself does not prove that he is behind terrorist acts. All right, I'm not an apologist for him, but I'm just being kind of realistic here. You know, you have to look at the evidence. Plus, they're claiming that this tape was made in between the two, between when the two jetliners hit the World Trade Center. One jetliner hit one building, and another one hit, like, I guess, what, 20 minutes later. And apparently, he got on video in between those two planes and took responsibility for it. That's the impression. It sounds bizarre, but that's the impression that's being given. And I just want to see how true that winds up being. I mean, yeah, if it's there and there's a little, like, clock in the background that proves that, you know, this is between the time when the two planes hit, then, yeah, that's evidence right there. But I don't think it's going to be that easy.
Besides, you can't fake that.
That's the other thing, you know. When they finally release this tape, I hope there are experts out there that look to see if there's, like, you know, some guy from The Simpsons reading his lines for him.
Yeah, there's a funny contradiction in all of this, too, which is that they haven't showed us a lot of those tapes because they think that there's some kind of hidden content where he's passing messages to these sleeper cells or some other organization in waiting and just listening for his instructions. But they still show little clips of video. They show the clip of video and they mute out his voice and the commentator says, you know, here's Bin Laden saying such and such.
And how did he pass the sleeper message to the people before? You know, was there a Bin Laden channel that was just basically broadcasting anything he wanted to say?
Oh, anything's possible with cable.
I wish.
But now they're perfectly willing to show this new video of him, and they're saying that there's no risk of there being secret messages because it's not a propaganda video. It's just him hanging out at some party talking to his dinner guests.
Yeah.
Which was
filmed surreptitiously.
Right, which means that there's no way that it could be encoded in his speech, which totally contradicts the justification before for only showing the video and no speech.
Plus, you know, I realize by asking these questions, people are going to accuse us of all kinds of things. But you have to ask these questions. How do we know it's really him? How are we going to prove it's really him? How do we know it's not just somebody, you know, looking like him, saying these things to prove that this person is responsible? You know, you have to look at all this. If it was actually in a court of law, all this would be looked at. Of course, it's not ever going to make it to a court of law, because that's another thing that's been taken from us, is our, you know, day of justice. It'll be done in secret. We won't know anything. It'll just be, you know, they'll wipe him out one day, and we'll all cheer in the streets and think that we've won something. In actuality, we don't know anything, and we've probably just made things a whole lot worse. All right, let's go over some listener mail and take some phone calls. Oh, our IRC server is back up. The irc.2600.net. After a month's absence, we've brought it back up, and it's doing pretty good. You've been on it, Surf.
I was on there just last night.
Yeah, I was on it just this afternoon. Mike, you don't like IRC, do you?
No.
Well, he'll come around.
I'm just there to request people's versions.
Yes, but the thing is, it's neat, because it's unlike most networks, because obviously it's primarily a hacker network. But I realized how interesting it can be. We've set up all these channels that are basically geographical channels, I guess, for 2,600 people. So, for instance, if you're in California, you'd go to every channel begins with a pound sign, so you'd go to #CA2600. And that's where people gather for 2600, you know, California 2600 type stuff. You can have all kinds of other channels on top of that, but that's like the basic home base. It doesn't stop there. It goes on to other countries as well. Now, we use the two-letter initials for states, and we put that at the beginning, you know, CA 2600, you know, DE 2600 for Delaware. But if you're in a country other than the United States, you stick the two-digit or two-letter initial that is set on the internet.
The ISO 3166 country code.
I was going to ask you what the actual technical term was. That again?
The ISO 3166.
Okay, I guess we should have just said that. Everybody would know what we meant.
Yeah, of course.
You stick that at the end instead of the beginning, and so, for instance, Canada would be #2600CA, and you see that way you separate Canada from California, where they have the same two letters. So basically every country in the world has a potential channel where people can go if they're interested in 2600. And that's when I realized how dangerous this thing really is. Because think of it, we can actually bring people interested in spreading information about hacking, about, you know, how computers work, asking all these inconvenient questions. No matter where they are, they can just connect and see other people in other countries, in their own country, you know, 'cause spread information, share things. I went to the Lebanese channel. I actually went. Was it LB or LN? I forget which one it is.
I really don't know.
Yeah, but I went to it just to see, because I saw somebody was in it. And yeah, that person was actually from Lebanon. There was somebody in the Vietnam channel. They were really in Vietnam. I was amazed. So, you know, these are all kinds of places to check out. You know, if you can't visit them in person, then this is a great way to visit them online. And again, to connect, irc.2600.net, you have to sort of know how to use IRC. It's not hard, but, you know, we're not going to go into that right now. But if you know how to use IRC, the server is irc.2600.net, and just go around and explore. And that's what I'm going to be doing starting next week, is exploring some
more.
You're
going to be sitting on IRC?
No, I might be, but I won't be sitting on IRC here. I'll be sitting on IRC over there. I threatened to do this last time I was over in Norway. I threatened to go back in the winter, you know, because I was there when it was daytime all the time, and that was pretty annoying. Now I'm going to go there when it's nighttime all the time, and probably experience the longest night of my life.
In Norway?
Norway, Sweden, Denmark, those areas. Mm. And I've already visited some channels. #2600DK, for instance, is the Danish channel, and you know, there are people there from that neck of the woods. So I'm going to basically wandering all over the place, and you know, meeting up with people and seeing things, and winding up at the Chaos Communications Congress, which starts on the 27th of December. It runs from the 27th to the 29th, and I strongly suggest people go to that. Most of it's going to be in English, I understand, which is a change. It usually is in German. But things are moving towards an English agenda. And I guess that's if you can't wait for H2K2, that's the closest thing, you know. And it takes place in Berlin, starting on the 27th. For more information on that, go to ccc.de. It's the greatest website in the world.
Not to be confused with Delaware.
No, definitely not Delaware, because they don't have a top level domain. But ccc.de is a German thing, and it's a great website. And you can see how they actually they have a building in Berlin that has text messages scrolling, you know, and you can make your own text messages. Imagine doing that here. Imagine having that kind of power. You don't.
They'd never allow it.
Check this out. Somebody alerted me to this today, that Google is now expanding their Usenet archives to, I think, to 15 years. And someone sent me a message that I posted in 1987. I had an account, and I'd like to know if anybody out there also had an account on this machine. Dasys1.uucp. Dasys1.uucp. That was my account. That was how I communicated, with UUCP mail. Those were the days. And I was asking for help with a computer back then, and I don't know if I ever got it, but it was something called the Big Electric Cat Public Unix. Does anybody remember the Big Electric Cat? That was a great system. And that was my first real experience with the potential of the internet, being able to ask questions and get answers really quickly, or fairly quickly, compared to paper mail. All right, here's a petition that's going around. You'll like this. This petition has been formed in order to persuade MGM to release an uncut and uncensored DVD/VHS version of the film Hackers. That's right. It is desired that this version will contain behind-the-scenes footage in addition to the cut footage. I don't know what cut footage there was, but actually, there is cut footage. There's cut footage of the guy having his credit card cut in half, and cut footage of his car being towed away, you know, the Secret Service agent, when the hackers got him. It is preferred that the cut footage be integrated into the film in its original intended position. It's nice to make demands like this, isn't it? If enough people sign, it will show MGM that there is a viable market for this product. Sign and help us push for the production and release of what I have named the Elite Edition of Hackers. And so far it has a total of 399 signatures. I don't know if that's enough to get a film released, but website is hackers-movie.n3.net. Yeah, so go check that out.
And don't forget the dash.
Yeah, don't forget the dash. Don't want to do that. What else? I guess we should read some listener. You hear about the Department of the Interior being cut off the internet? What, you know something about this, sir?
No. Yeah. The whole...
You know about this?
The whole... Are they a department or bureau? Whatever. They were all cut off the internet due to a court order. Apparently, there were some records in the Bureau of Indian Affairs that were not properly secured, and the department was apparently stalling or whatever in making the security. So the judge ordered that the whole Department of the Interior, which includes the Park Service, the Geological Service, you know, some decent stuff in that department, and it all went offline.
That's rather strange. And did it come back ever?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
Here's some listener mail on the thing we talked about last week, the telezapper. Remember the telezapper? That makes telemarketers know that you don't exist, which I don't really think works. Well, the telezapper only works with telemarketers that have automated dialers. These call numbers until they hear a voice, then they connect the line to a human telemarketer. This is why one sometimes picks up the phone, says hi, there is silence, one says hi again, then the telemarketer is there. It takes a moment to get connected. The no such number tone tells the automated dialer that the number is now disconnected. And since paying people to call dead numbers is expensive, they use the automated dialers. Yeah, but the point is, that if you send that signal to the telemarketers, you're also sending that signal to people who want to reach you. And I don't believe it's an inaudible signal. I think it's something that they would hear in their ears, and they would say, oh, his number is disconnected. I won't call him ever again. And that's the end of that.
No, there's a much easier way to defeat those automated dialers.
What's that?
Well, what they do is they place the call and they listen to the first little bit of audio, or really audio up until there's a little bit of silence, and they make a judgment based on that as to what the story with your line is. And there are pretty much three conditions. One is that they get some kind of operator message, meaning that your phone is disconnected or something like that. Or, I suppose a busy signal would be an equivalent of that. Another is that somebody picks up and says something short and sweet like hello, which means that there's a human on the other end waiting to buy something.
Right.
And the last one is that an answering machine picks up. And the way they detect that is that usually it's a little bit more long-winded.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is you can answer the phone. Instead of saying hello, you can say, hi and welcome to the Emmanuel Goldstein household. How may I help you today? And they'll be absolutely convinced that it's an answering machine and try you another time.
That's probably why they don't call phone companies, because phone companies always pick up with this long, you know, sales pitch, as if you need to, you know, hear the sales pitch when you're calling them anyway. So, yeah, by calling Sprint now and signing up with us, you can save 10 cents and, you know, how can I help you today? And I feel sorry for them having to say that each and every time they pick up the phone, but it's, I guess, just all part of the business. All right, what else do we have here? Ah, yes, this has to do with phone service, local phone service. 3 months after the World Trade Center attacks decimated Lower Manhattan's communications infrastructure, of which we're a part, phone service in the area is anything but normal. Telephone companies say they have restored service to the vast majority of customers, but thousands of phone lines are still not operating, and customers whose lines have been restored complain that their service is still spotty and prone to interruptions. We can call out, but we can't receive calls, said Yanitsa Stevenson, a supervisor at the Alban Pan Bakery. All the managers have cell phones. Many downtown merchants, already stung by the loss of much of their customer base, say they have had to resort to cell phones and ingenuity to keep their businesses operating. About 200,000 telephone lines and 3.5 million data circuits were affected by the terrorist attacks that toppled the World Trade Center. Testifying Monday at a New York State Assembly hearing, Maureen Helmer, chairwoman of the State Public Service Commission, said the damage was beyond any planning scenario and swamped normal protections. She said contingency planners must now consider the unthinkable. Good luck. John Bonomo, a spokesman for Verizon Communications, Inc., the city's largest provider, said more than 95% of phones near Ground Zero are working again. AT&T spokesman Dave Johnson reported similar figures. By the company's account, full restoration is not a simple matter. The collapse of 7 World Trade Center, the 47-story building that fell hours after the Twin Towers collapse, that's what took us off the air, crushed thousands of underground cables at Verizon's switching station across the street. As a stopgap measure, the company has strung cables out of the windows and run them down the building and through shallow trenches in the streets that are covered with steel plates or plywood. Verizon estimates that it will spend up to $1.9 billion to repair the damage. It's still a changing area, Bonomo said. There are a lot of factors that can affect phone service. The cables are not underground and are not protected by normal means. They are subject to the elements. But some customers complain they have been left in the dark, subject to prolonged and mystifying interruptions in service. For a couple of months, they didn't tell us anything, said Ezra Cohen, vice president of OK Uniforms, where the attacks, where the phones went back on last week for the first time since the attacks. The store, which is a Verizon customer, normally has 8 lines for phone, fax, and computer. In order to do business during the last 3 months, Cohen had one of the lines forwarded to his home in Nassau County and from there to a cell phone that he brought to work. We couldn't get any faxes in the computer we couldn't use at all, he said. For credit card purchases, Cohen wrote out receipts by hand and took them home each night to check whether the cards were valid. Chris Meyer, executive director of the watchdog organization New York Public Interest Research Group, which has offices downtown, said about 4 of NYPERG's 20 lines have been restored. Just before Thanksgiving, our internet and email system went down, and we couldn't get any straight answers from Verizon as to why, Meyer said. And residents have been affected, too. Pam Wiedek, who lives about 3 blocks from the Trade Center site, just got her dial tone back on Sunday. Wiedek has little confidence that her phone will keep working. She had no phone service from September 11th until November 10th, then got it for 10 days and lost it again. It makes it a lot harder to feel like you're normal, she said. And if you're having trouble with your phones, we'd like to hear about them. Of course, if you're having major trouble, I guess we can't, but we'd like to hear anyway. And finally, and this is relating to me since I'm going to be traveling. Has anybody traveled since September 11th in this room?
I flew from Florida to New York.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know, a few weeks ago.
And was it different than the last time you flew on an airplane?
My heart was going a little bit faster. That was about it.
Apart from your heart, how about the people around? How about the airport? How about just the general mood in the air?
Well, you know, the security measures were there, but the security measures really just involved them asking for your driver's license that many more times. And
any National Guard people?
You know, I didn't see a single person in camouflage.
That's because they're in camouflage. See, it works.
Oh, it's not like
that special airport camouflage that makes them blend in with terminals.
Yeah, it's not forest. It's wall.
Anyway, this is bound to make me feel better. Officials at Dulles International Airport in suburban Washington cleared hundreds of passengers and employees from its main terminal Monday evening after a screening device briefly stopped operating. Airport spokesman Tom Sullivan said the metal detector in the airport's main terminal malfunctioned for less than a minute. But to make sure no weapons had passed through during that span, officials cleared the secure part of the terminal and four mobile lounges that transport passengers to a nearby terminal. Now get this. Another airport employee said the cause of the malfunction was the fact that the machine was unplugged, but declined further comment, I guess, out of fear for his job. United Airlines, the dominant airline at Dulles, provides security through a contractor. It's great how, you know, we're doing all this, we're spending all this money, but we're still going to let capitalism have its way as far as its as our safety and make the lowest possible bidder, no matter how incompetent they are, be the ones to trust our security with. Anyway, after the empty terminal was checked with explosive-detecting dogs, passengers were rescreened. The terminal was reopened around... Has anybody tried to hide explosives inside a dog? A seeing eye... I'm just thinking, you know, thinking Stephen King mode here. Seeing eye dog, right? Who's going to... How do you check a seeing eye dog? And the other dog isn't going to... You know, if you sniff the other dog, they're just going to think that he's like dog sniffing, you know? I don't know. Something maybe we should think about. The terminal was reopened around 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, according to Sullivan. About four flights were delayed because of the incident. In New York, Delta Airlines Monday night evacuated two terminals and four planes at JFK International Airport after a passenger found a 4-to-5-inch knife beyond security checkpoints at the airport. Delta said security removed passengers from four international flights and evacuated two terminals following the discovery. Dee Baker, Delta spokeswoman, said all passengers were required to go through security again after a thorough sweep of both the terminals and the planes. A total of 9 planes, 4 international, 5 domestic, were affected, and nobody knows how the knife got there. And hopefully they took it away. Maybe that's an oversight. All right, 212-209-2900. If you're in New York, you can dial 1-212-209-2900. Go ahead, try it. Get used to it. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, and I heard that sound you were talking about.
You heard the sound.
I heard it. I wasn't paying attention in the past because I have called. Never noticed that until you guys brought it to my attention. I thank you for that.
This isn't Claude, is it?
Oh, yeah, you got that.
Yeah,
your voice
comes through on the voice identifier.
Okay, right. Listen.
Oh, sorry, we're not supposed to talk about that.
No, you shouldn't. You'll spook the other caller.
Well, we got it for Monroe, but then we realized we don't need it for him because everybody knows what his voice sounds like.
Had enough practice. Listen, there's an important anniversary tomorrow. Maybe you guys already know about it, but your listeners should if they don't already.
December 12, 12-12.
01.
12-12-01. Oh, is that some sort of number?
Marconi.
Oh, Marconi.
Across the ocean,
yes.
So, I mean, that's when he defied the current understanding of the time, proved you could broadcast huge distances.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I just wanted to admit, if you know anything about that.
Is there a particular time when we should gather around and do something?
Man, I don't know. But, you know, I heard about this on the station you're now broadcasting on,
mm-hmm.
on the shortwave band, BCQ, and perhaps information we had over there. That's where I found out my small bit of knowledge on this.
Okay, well, I'm sure people can search on the web for Marconi in December 12th and figure out
like,
the appropriate things to do.
And there is actually, if you look for Marconi Radio Club, you'll find info over there. If you use Alta Vista,
mm-hmm.
title, colon, and then in the quotation marks, Marconi Radio Club, it'll get you right there. Okay, I'm glad you brought you extended the conversation a little because I knew more than I knew I knew.
Well, I think that's the case with all of us. If we just keep talking a little bit, we'll find out we know an awful lot.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Sure, bye-bye.
Take care. Claude, who has engineered this radio program in the past. Maybe he will in the future, too. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Manuel.
How you doing?
Let me just grab my radio and shut it off before I start feeding back.
So you're a local listener that gets us on the radio.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, I'm in Jersey.
Okay. 10-digit dialing in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, you know, I dialed up my ISP the other day, and all of a sudden my modem said, nope, can't do it. You got to dial the area code.
So do you have to dial 1 first or not?
I forget.
Yeah?
I think I do, yeah.
I think in most cases you would probably, because it's going to confuse people if you don't have to dial 1 sometimes.
Oh, that would drive me up. Yeah, I think I do, yeah. Because otherwise, yeah, you'd go totally nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, well, do I dial 1 now? Yeah. Anyway.
In fact, why do you have to dial 1 at all anymore if everyone's going to be dialing, you know, the area code with every phone number? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
What's on your mind?
I think your solution was good, though, the 4-digit thing.
Yeah. Well, I wish they'd listened to me years ago when I came up with it, but
they don't consult us.
Yeah. So what's on your mind tonight?
I recently started using some firewall software, and I use ATT WorldNet.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that there was this program that was sending up some information, and my firewall software identified it as some kind of history uploader, which sounded pretty bad to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you know anything about that? Like, what are they doing? Like, in my firewall like software, I totally disabled any of that stuff. Like, there was two or three separate applications that were trying to send outgoing TCP packets,
mm-hmm.
which I disabled all of them. And my software still works. I'm still able to log on, but I'm just wondering, like, what is this stuff?
What kind of OS are you running?
2000, Windows 2000, professional.
There should be a way to see where those packets are going, right? I mean, is there some kind of monitoring program that will tell them exactly what's happening?
What's the firewall software that you're using?
What's the name of the software?
It's the McAfee.
What's it called?
The McAfee, it's the McAfee antivirus software, but they also, like, a new version has an...
Okay, I'm familiar with that. It should tell you the name of the executable program that's trying to send that data out.
Yeah, it does, but
does it tell you if it's from the directory or the folder that it's located in? Does it give you some kind of clue as to whether it's something that's part of Windows 2000 or something that maybe was installed surreptitiously?
No, yeah. As a matter of fact, all these files are in the ATT WorldNet folder, so they were all apparently installed when I installed WorldNet software.
Okay.
So there's and one of them, you know, the file names are pretty cryptic, but one of them, when you do a properties on it, it describes it as a history uploader.
It sounds like AT&T WorldNet is spying on you.
They probably want to know your key clicks when you go to one of their sites or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be totally nefarious, but I still don't like it.
Well, I think it's probably done for marketing purposes, not just spying on you, but it's still, I think that's an intrusion anyway, and you should figure out how to get that turned off and also confront whoever is doing it and ask them just what they think they're doing.
Right. Well, I have it all turned off. Like, mm-hmm. I, you know, in the software, you can disable, it gives you the opportunity to disable, you know, never allow this, allow this, sometimes, yada, yada, yada. So I just... pegged it all as don't ever allow this.
And is it working?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's then the story has a happy ending.
Yeah, but I thought maybe you guys knew something about that.
Well, we're not unfamiliar with things like that happening, and they seem to happen more often than not. And I guess it's a good lesson to people to always watch what's happening with your connections. Sometimes it won't tell you right on the screen either. Sometimes you have to, you know, probe into your system and see, you know, what kinds of connections are being made and what exactly is happening. It's a really good article in the upcoming edition of 2600, which will be out in about a month, about what happens when you go to a web page that has advertising, how many places you wind up, having information about you taken. And it's kind of scary. It really is.
No, I don't want to plug any service providers, but there are a few out there that don't ask you to install any software. Go figure.
Really? Well, go ahead, plug some.
Mindspring, Earthlink.
They don't ask you for any...
You can use your normal PPP software, and mm-hmm. everything works fine.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, not to mention, you know, the mantra, support your local ISP.
Yeah, but how are they local ISP, Mindspring, Earthlink? They're huge.
Oh, no. I mean, besides that, if you don't want to support the giant hulking ISP, you know, go with, in New York here, go with Inch or Escape or Echo or whoever.
Panix?
Yeah. There you go. Panix.
We got some good ones here. That's true. I second that phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm calling from northern New Jersey, and I thought you might like to have an update on our new system. I don't know how if anyone has said anything about this, but the rollover, I believe, took place on Friday afternoon or Friday evening. All of the forwarded phone numbers that doctors and other services left over the weekend were knocked out of commission.
Oh, great.
We tried to get my kid's doctor, and of course we remembered to dial 201. And we finally got Verizon, and we got a really nice guy at Verizon who said, oh, I've fielded thousands of phone calls like this. I'll tell you the truth. This is what's happened. We can't do anything about it until everybody comes in on Monday and reprograms their forwarding.
So basically, you were calling a number that forwarded to this doctor's home?
Right, exactly.
And it didn't have the 201 at the beginning?
It didn't have the 201, and there was nothing. There was no way to reach the doctor. It wasn't life-threatening. And there was nothing that anyone could do until all the doctors and all the other services came in and reprogrammed their forwarding.
What would you get when you called?
You got, let's see, I'm trying to remember if you got either a fast busy or you got a message that said you have to dial the area code with this number.
But you didn't know the number, so you couldn't do
that. Right, so of course, right, it wasn't like, okay, wait, let me plug it in now. So it was a, it was the standard Verizon, you know, snafu.
The thing is, the person on the other end isn't going to know that that's happening.
Oh, not a clue.
Yeah.
In fact, when we got to my, my son's doctor, and he sort of said, oh, I'm so glad you told me about this. It's still on. I have no idea.
So if you have, if you're at the end of a forwarding operation in New Jersey, you might want to double check that to make sure.
Well, either that or you can figure out at this point that you have no one who's ever going to call you again. Anyway.
All right.
So there, here we are, and I listen on the radio, and you guys are great.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
I wonder if forwarding... If it affects forwarding through Verizon, you know, like your regular Star 72 forwarding, you'd think that the software would be intelligent enough to say that's an impossible number, so therefore I'm going to either change it to the right number or, you know, not have it forward at all. You know, I could see, you know, the actual hardware forwarders that you get at Radio Shack, they're not going to be updated, obviously, but the ones inside the switch itself, you know, they should know this. All right, let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, calling the regular zero operator has become annoying because they have these, in Verizon in New York, they have these annoying recordings for emergency, like when you just dial zero, it's for emergency police, press one, and for to get 411, press two, and to get this, you know, it's just like, people are just demanding that you go through these menus and stuff. You're talking about, like, the thing. Try calling that voice recognition from a payphone. It won't work because the noise around the payphone, like in the street or something. You know, I've tried this with banks that that they don't do the touch tone recognition anymore, but they do the voice recognition in banks. Like to call the bank by phone, you try and say account balance and say this and say that, and the noise around the payphone just confuses them and says, "I think you said IRA." No, I didn't say IRA. I said balance. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. I think you said this. And it just gets all confused.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed is that I had this problem with an airline. I think it was American Airlines. They mandatorily force you, or they did anyway, into a voice recognition system. And if you're driving or if you're at a payphone, there's so much noise there, it's not going to understand what you're saying, and there's really nothing you can do about it because it's not going to understand a single word. I found if you scream at the top of your lungs an obscenity along with the word operator, you usually wind up being transferred to a human. You should try it. Go to a quiet place or a place where, you know, where, you know, noise won't be an issue, and just try that on any voice recognition. I think they're programmed to recognize anger. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Good evening. You're on the air. Yes, go ahead.
I just figured I'd let you guys know that the communication was between North America and Europe was made on December the 12th at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time exactly in 1901. So it's 100 years ago tomorrow, 12:30.
Wow. Okay. So we should figure out what the appropriate way to observe that is. I guess communicate with somebody.
I know there's a guy. He's on, actually, it's called Signal Hill in Newfoundland, Canada. He's actually reenacting the whole... thing.
Where do you know where Signal Hill is in the
I'm pretty sure it's on the island of Labrador, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, actually, Labrador is part of the mainland of Canada, so it's across from Newfoundland.
Well, I am a Canadian citizen.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, it's on the actual tip of the island. Like, I'm not exactly sure where Signal Hill is, but I know it's in the area.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. I was just in Newfoundland. And, you know, they just renamed it. It's now Newfoundland and Labrador, or Labrador and Newfoundland, and people aren't very happy about that for some reason. All right, let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Emmanuel. I have a little update for you from this whole overlay in New Jersey. I'm a northern New Jersey Verizon customer. Actually, some of this doesn't even have to do with since the additional area codes, but it has been since they added 973 and whatever, 732. I can I'll clear up the one versus the no one plus dialing. If you make a call within the LATA, as long as it's as long as you're within the LATA, you don't need a one. I've never needed it since they added 973 and 732. The one thing where you do need it, and this I found this morning, is very peculiar. On you know how in northern New Jersey they have the reverse directory. You can put in the number and get the person's name and address if it's listed.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Well, that's call 54, they call it that, 555-5454.
Okay.
Well, I tried it this morning, and I tried it with an area code as well, several area codes, and it wouldn't work. And finally, I thought about it, and I said, let's see. Now, that, you need a 1.
Uh-huh.
You have to do 1201 or 1 whatever your area code, 555. You know, but generally, as long as you're within the LATA, it's just area code and number, and it's been that way for about 3 years now.
But can you dial the one anyway? We'll go through.
Yeah, it'll take it.
Okay.
You don't need it. Sometimes I wonder if that'll confuse it to go to whom your long-distance provider is, and you might get charged for a call that otherwise. But I think it's programmed that it realizes, you know, because some people have different carriers for their intralata long distance.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess with all those carrier access codes getting involved as well.
By the way, how does this sound? I'm one of the few that probably is calling you on an analog cellular. I have a digital plan, but I won't use a digital phone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I could. One of these days should tell you that story. I know you're getting towards the end of the show.
That's yeah, that sounds interesting. So you have an analog phone, but you have a digital plan.
That's the gist of it. I had to buy digital, but I refused to use that. You know, I can't. I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
And then the one other thing I have to ask you about is a little bit unrelated, but you know these flat rate long distance providers like CNM Network and
yeah.
I've started with CNM at the end of August, I guess it was, and it was very. I'm in a public place.
It sounds very public.
Yes, it's Port Authority, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Anyway, what happened was. The first couple of months, until about 3 weeks ago or so, it had that sort of digital cellular quality, and of course it's got this delay, this slight delay. But they have done an upgrade, and I wonder if you've heard or know anything about what the upgrade might have been. In the past about 3 weeks or so, the quality is very, very good, with the exception of a few echoes here and a little bit of, there's still that, I call it like a mini satellite delay.
No, I haven't heard of that myself, but unfortunately we're out of time. But we'll pick that up on a future show. But sounds interesting. It's good to be able to tell when something is changed in some subtle way. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. I thank Mike and Sarah for coming in. And I guess they'll be in the weeks ahead. I'll be somewhere. I'll be on a phone. You know, we'll try that again. Hopefully that'll go smoothly for the next few weeks. Visiting parts of Scandinavia where the sun does not rise. And also reporting from the Chaos Communications Congress, which takes place in Berlin on the 27th, 28th, 29th. Go to ccc.de for more details. See you next week.
He contemplates his conscience. You're tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
He gets up off the floor. He contemplates his escape.
We are just looking for a place to survive.
Poverty.
Every Wednesday at 9 p.m., you won't want to miss Asia Pacific Forum, the only place you'll hear about grassroots Asian politics, culture, art, and the Asian spirit. Only on WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio.
Many others in a moment's time sacrifice illuminated light. Many others forgot their own name. But I'm about to use it. Many others.
Asia Pacific Forum every Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Only on 99.5 FM.
You and I, we choose the same means of it. They're trading our living hours for shelter.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Lopez. It was certainly a pleasure taking your pledges during WBAI's fall fun drive. On behalf of the staff and volunteers of your favorite radio station, we'd like to say a special thank you to those who have used their plastic and those who've honored their pledges. And if you've not already honored your pledge, this is a little reminder to please do so at your earliest convenience. WBAI is a listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio station broadcasting at 99.5 on the FM dial, WBAI.org on the internet. Thank you for allowing WBAI to continue to educate the world.